Hi, I'm your host, Megan Whiteside. I'm a lawyer and a mom, and I know how trying to balance the two can leave you feeling depleted and stuck. Are you ready to reframe your mindset, own your power, and set yourself up for success? You're listening to the Mom Life and Law Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Mom Life and Law. I am so excited for today's episode. I am here with my friend and colleague, Laura. If you will introduce yourself and let the listeners know what you do.
Thanks, Megan, and thanks for having me here. I'm Laura Yeager. I've been a practicing lawyer for 20 plus years in the pharmaceutical and medical device complex litigation area. I've had a very interesting journey from working with two of the largest firms in the country to opening my own practice. I also have my own legal consulting company where I help lawyers and law firms amplify their practice.
I love it. And I definitely want to get into the journey you've taken in your legal career. So how did you start? Where did you start your law practice?
Well, I went to school in Florida, but eventually ended up in Texas. So I got my first legal job by default, I say, in Texas, and started in pharmaceutical and medical device mass tort litigation. It was sort of a Cinderella story. I was hired as a data entry clerk and worked my way up to being hired as an associate after a couple of years. So it was quite fun. And I stayed at that firm for 15 years, longer than I should have.
So when you say longer than you should have, what were the lessons that you learned that actually led you to moving on to your next position?
Yeah, so there really has been three big lessons I've learned over the years. And the first one was that I stayed too long at a firm where I was really boxed in. You know, I worked hard, I accomplished a lot, but no one knew it because I was, you know, you just stayed in your office. You did your work, you thought someone was going to notice you, whether it was in the firm or outside the firm, but that didn't happen because I was not a good self-promoter. You know, I would see the male lawyers going past my office every day and going down and talking to the firm owner. And I was like, how did they have time to do that? But, you know, of course, when it was bonus time, the bonuses were quite different. And he knew what they were doing, even though I worked really hard. He didn't know what I was doing because I wasn't promoting myself. And it was in 2009 when I left there from Texas to Florida, but worked for the same firm, that I decided to kind of, I had to spread my wings. I had to get out there and let people know who I was and network, which was very difficult for me.
How did you find out that the bonus structure was different, or that other, you know, associates or lawyers were getting recognized in a way that you weren't?
Because they talk about it. The men talk about the money. And so if you're you know, are able to tap into that network or to their network, you end up finding that out because they're not afraid to talk about the money like women are. That's one of what I call the elephants in the room is money.
Yeah. So did there come a point where you were more comfortable talking about the money?
Yeah. So another one of those times where I learned a lesson, I think it was 2013, I was being courted by three other firms. And it was really interesting because they were offering me positions with very interesting compensation packages with language and vocabulary. I didn't know what they were. Like, they were like, oh, well, you could have a salary with a draw, and the draw would be non-recourse, or the draw is recourse, and then you could have a guaranteed handling bonus or a generator. I felt like I was in a foreign land. And I said, I've got to figure out what all these terms mean, what type of deals are being done with plaintiff lawyers before I could actually make that lateral move and make a good decision for myself. And, you know, I was like, okay, let me think of it this way. I've always thought I have to practice what I preach, right? I've always said to myself and others, there's no stupid question, right? But I was really afraid to ask other lawyers about their compensation package. I was afraid to admit I didn't know what a draw was And I was afraid to admit, I didn't know what non-recourse recourse was. And I said, I've got to just do it and ask. And it was amazing how many times when I approached a lawyer and just said to them, hey, I'd love to just chat with you about your compensation structure. You don't have to tell me about the money, like the numbers, but I want to know how it's structured. I was so surprised at how many lawyers actually sat down and talked with me. And then I learned a lot, and then I've spoken about it across the country and paid it forward so that other plaintiffs' lawyers could understand the different compensation structures. Defense lawyers, the data is out there, but it's not out there for lawyers, for plaintiffs' lawyers.
So what did you learn, right? There may be women listening who have no idea, you know, all of the different types of structures. Like, are there a few things that you could share now that might help another woman?
Yeah, I want to say the statistic is it's awful. It's like 60-something percent of women actually do not ask for their worth, nor do they ask for the raise. And they will take a, like 30% less than what a man does. So women really have to do the work. I tell people all the time that you've got to sit down and do self-assessment to really figure out what you're bringing to the table at the firm. And you should do the exercise, write it down so you can quantify your worth and the value you're bringing. And then you balance that with doing the same thing of what's the firm bringing to the table for you. And you do that exercise. The second tip I would give is you've got to talk to others so you could understand the range of or the type of deals. You know, is it a lower salary because you're willing to get more on the back end when a fee comes in? You know, but you got to do the math. And a lot of lawyers, male or female, sometimes will not do the math to really see how it works out to benefit them. So those are my three quick tips.
Yeah. Well, and I think you know, a lot of us, myself included, for a long time, didn't think about the business of law. And just like you said, you know, kept my head down, did my work. And then all of a sudden, many years into practice, I kind of woke up and went, wait a minute. I know that I could be earning more than this. You know, how do I get there? And it does take, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable to have those conversations, or at least that's how I felt, right? To approach other, for me, it was other women. I wasn't comfortable yet having those conversations with men about compensation structures or ideas on how to ask for a raise. And I actually practiced with a couple of my girlfriends, like, just can we role play? And like, you know, my boss, can you pretend, like, you know, that this conversation, like worst case scenario and best case scenario, but just that sort of, those conversations were really empowering. Did you find that to be your experience when you started going out and actually having those compensation conversations?
Absolutely. And I commend you on practicing. We don't do that. I always tell folks, do it as if you're representing your client, right? We're really good, especially women lawyers, at getting extra prepared. But we prepare for others all the time, but we don't prepare for ourselves, right? And when you're going to go make that pitch to get a raise, or you're going to do that counter offer, right, in a compensation package, you need to prepare like you're preparing your case. And then you got to go represent yourself. To get back to your original question, though, I found it amazing how open people were once I breached and confronted that elephant in the room and wanting to talk about money. And not only in relation to compensation and raises, but when I opened my own firm in 2017 and I wanted to learn about how to fund a firm, like how do I have the finances and fund a firm? It was another thing that I knew nothing about. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's another one. I'm going to ask somebody. They're going to think I'm silly asking this question, but I'm just going to have to do it afraid, do it scared. And it was amazing how many people were willing to, once I broached the subject, share with me how they funded their law firm, how they financed all of it. So we have resources out there, but we've got to, as women, stop. You know, I self-judge myself, right, all the time. And I go, well, what's going to happen if I ask this question? They're going to think I'm lacking this knowledge, like maybe I'm not a good lawyer because I don't know this part of the business or this aspect of something. And I just decided a number of years ago, it's probably in 2009, that I was going to be me. I was going to be authentic. I was going to practice what I preached, which was there's no stupid question. And it's been amazing. If I did that authentically, the response I got back.
So what has been the response?
A plethora of really good advice and guidance from men and women lawyers. And even lawyer, people that aren't even in the legal space. You know, I don't think I would be here 3 years into my own law firm that's successful right now without some of the great advice that I got from, you know, my personal board of directors, which I'll be speaking about soon.
Yes. Yes. And what you're alluding to, when this episode airs, it'll just be a few days away, Mom Life and Law Live. I was thrilled when I reached out to you and said, will you come and speak on a panel about building a personal board of directors? Because it, in my observation, you live it, right? You really just, I admire you and the network that you've built. And so I don't know if I've told you this, but I too reached a point in my career where I decided I'm just going to start to put myself out there, try to meet new people and ask questions. And for me, the comfort level was asking questions of other women first, you know? And so part of the way that I did that was I practice in Washington, D.C. We're both part of an organization, the American Association for Justice, that has board meetings in Washington, D.C. every fall. And for a number of years, I knew they were happening walking distance from my office, but I thought, oh, I'm not on the board of any of these committees. I don't know anyone. Like, it would just be weird if I showed up. And one year, I think 2 years ago now, I decided, I'm just going to go. Like, there's got to be someone friendly. And the only meeting I had the guts to go to was for the Women Trial Lawyers Caucus. And that's where I met you for the first time. And you were seated like two or three women down from me. And Laura, you were so welcoming, you know, to me as a nobody who didn't know anyone in the room. And just, I saw you working the room, networking, everyone seemed excited to talk to you. And then you spent time talking to me. And I really mean it when I say in that moment, I thought, oh, maybe I belong here too. And so I have to say thank you for being so welcoming and just an example of what's possible. You know, I really look up to you and what you've done in building your network and your practice. And so you saying yes to come and speaking at Mom Life and Law Live means more to me than you know. I don't know, if, you know, I'm going on and on, but I really do admire what you've done and how inclusive you are. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm still learning to take compliments, so thank you, because those were some really kind words. But I think you were a victim of my, what I call my 3 and 5, actually. So remember when I said earlier in the podcast that I was really scared to network, okay? So if you've done any of the personality tests, I was an introvert. I am now a 5 on the extrovert scale, but I'm a 9 on the quiet. So I've really taught myself to see what you see of me now, okay? But I've done it very authentically. In 2009, I remember walking into a bar meeting here in St. Petersburg, literally with like 300 lawyers, and being terrified. And the things that would go through my head were, oh my God, if I ask this or I say this, they're going to think I'm an idiot. They're going to judge me. They're going to think, who is this person? And I basically just stood in the back of the room in a corner and really was paralyzed. And I said, I have to figure out a way to do this because I want to spread my wings. I want people to know who I am, right? And I'm going to admit, I read books. There's one called How to Mingle. I mean, that's what I read. And some of the tips that I forced myself to do was meet 5 new people. No matter what room I walked in, and I was meeting 5 new people. So the day in D.C., you were probably one of the 5 people that when I looked around, I said, that's who I want to meet today. And I was, you know, and then because I would purposely pick people, it was like I really wanted to get to know them. And I really wanted to connect. Sometimes the connections work, and then someone is like, okay, I'm going to be me, like I said earlier, they kind of take me as I am. The other rule is 3. So I always came up with three topics that I knew I could talk about. So that way I wasn't in my head prejudging myself and self-doubting myself all the time. And I started that in 09, and I still do it to this day, sort of just naturally now, right? And I've never really wanted people to feel like I felt in the room at the bar meeting here in St. Petersburg. So my goal has always been, I want to be welcoming, and I want to connect people if I can connect people. So I'm glad it's working, because it clearly worked 2 years ago with you.
It clearly worked.
Yeah.
And naturally, like, I never in a million years would have guessed. You're like, okay, I've got a game plan. I've got to find five new people, and I've got my three topics. You know, to me, you were just this leader in the organization who everyone seemed excited to talk to. And I felt so welcomed to, you know, you and a few other women who now I can call friends, you know, and go to events, and I don't have to think about, you know, what I'm going to say. You know, we've just formed a community. So I, you know, your techniques work.
Well, it's always so key for me, because I remember going to one of my first AHA meetings and going, okay, I'm just going to go and I'm just going to walk into different rooms, and it's going to be really uncomfortable for me. And there were times where no one said a word to me, and then you didn't feel comfortable. And then you were like, well, do I really want to be a part of this? And I told myself, when Lori Andrus and Lauren Barnes, two phenomenal women, urged me to get off the sidelines in that organization and were so welcoming, I told myself then that there would never be another woman who felt like I felt, or another even trial lawyer, even if it's a male trial lawyer, coming to the organization or an event and feeling unwelcome. I was always going to be that conduit if I could, because, you know, that's my spirit of paying it forward, because it makes a difference.
It does. So I have my thoughts on why that's important, but why do you think that's important?
It's about building a safe community, right? It's about building a safe community where someone can be genuine and authentic and themselves. And then when that happens, the support you get is unbelievable. I mean, time and time again, that with the Women's Trial Lawyer Caucus and others within AAJ, our male allies, I'll call them, have supported me in ways, like, I wouldn't have my own law firm, but for those connections and friendships and support I've built, you know, through that. So
yeah, there's such power when you don't feel like you're alone. Yeah. And, you know, in these COVID times when we're not in person, but hopefully soon, maybe this summer and this fall. But so you're now the chair of the Women Trial Lawyers Caucus. This last year you have been. And you and your predecessor, Brandi Gatewood, who, you know, have been doing this during COVID, you both have cultivated a way to build community online too. And I think it's like that safe space can be in person at events, but also, you know, what I see with the Women Trial Lawyers Caucus, I'm part of other, you know, committees or groups within, you know, AAJ, the larger organization, but the Women Trial Lawyers Caucus, there's something really special when we gather together. I think because a lot of us join to have that safe space to be able to talk about issues in our law practice, but also in our lives. Like, we don't go into the practice of law and just forget who we are, or, you know, can compartmentalize all of the struggles that we might have. You know, have you and the board of the Women Trial Lawyers Caucus done that intentionally, or has that just sort of been a function of who you are as the leaders?
I think it has been a little bit of both. Because there's a large group of us that really wanted to make sure that it's not a clique, right? And everybody feels welcome, can be a part of it. And it's naturally who we are, the group of women that has been leading it over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, and the current leaders of it. But you have to be intentional to make sure everybody feels welcome. Okay, so it's a little bit of both. I know Brandi Gatewood, her whole thing was weaving a tapestry and putting a quilt together. So she was really about all of us being threaded together and connected. I've tried to follow in her footsteps, and it's so important for me to create the connection. It's been hard during COVID to do. I got a great compliment this week, which meant I must be doing something right, but I've got to give Heather Hubbard a shout out, because somehow Heather Hubbard can connect people virtually. And I have watched how she does it, and she's inspired me. And someone recently said, we love your Zoom meetings. We love the business meetings, because somehow you bring an energy that just connects people. I'm not sure where it's coming from all the time. Maybe it's the dancing I do. I don't know.
Yes, I love the dancing. Yes. Well, and I think part of my observation, the 2 cents for what it's worth, is that you seem very comfortable in your own skin, right? And I think that's something that all of us on a certain level are striving to do, you know, with varying levels of success, you know, at different points in our lives. And I don't know, you know, how it feels to be you on the inside, but, you know, the way that you show up in a one-on-one conversation with me is the same way I see you show up at the business meetings, is the same way I see you show up, you know, back when we were able to have in-person brunches and board meetings and things like that. You know, it never seems like an act. And I think that maybe that goes back to what you said you learned in practice, where it's like just showing up authentically. Do you feel like you're showing up authentically? And how did you get to a place where you were able to do it?
It goes back to, I mean, it was 2009 where I just made that decision of I was just going to do it. And I think the rewards that I've had of just being me and who I am, being authentic, being genuine, and if people are going to either like it or not, I mean, I've had more people like it and get so many rewards out of it. So it becomes just, it's just, I'm not afraid to do it. Now, it doesn't mean I don't struggle. I mean, I have my self-doubts, I have my struggles, just like every one of us, you know. You know, like when I started my own firm, I was like, I lack so much confidence. How am I going to do this? How am I going to make this work? I doubted myself, you know, with that little voice in your head, like, am I going to really pull this off? Because it wasn't, I had a kick in the butt to start it. Right? Someone kicked me in the butt and I was like, okay, I just got to do this now, kind of thrown at me. And it was really interesting. I had a meeting with my staff this week and I have one that's leaving. And he said to me, I thanked him for taking this leap of faith with me 3 years ago, because that's how I saw it. I thought this was huge leap of faith. Like, how am I going to pull this off? And you know, those voices we all have in our head. So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
But he said to me, he said, Laura, when you called me up to ask me to come work for you, he said, I never thought it was a leap of faith. He said to me, I know you. You're a planner. You're a thinker. You're an analyzer. And you get things done if you set your mind to it. And he's telling me this stuff. And I still wasn't believing it at first, you know, I'm like, oh, my God. But it was neat to hear how he saw me. He saw it as not a leap of faith, but internally for me. I was like a basket case. I was just doing it scared, right? So, but I've shown up authentic even with my, you know, team, my family, friends. It's just who, you know, something I chose to do a long time ago and not be afraid of it.
Yes. So. Well, to the women who are afraid, you know, we hear authenticity thrown around a lot. Be authentic. Authenticity is important. You know, how did you, it sounds like 2009 was a pivotal year. Right? You know, how did you start to do it scared or still do it scared to show up as yourself, you know, even with that self-doubt? You know, I think we're all on some level afraid of being judged. So do you have any advice on the how?
It's sort of like Nike. You just have to do it. I mean, it's crazy to say that, but you just have to do it. But do it knowing that you're going to do it sometimes, and it's not going to feel good because the response you get back is not good, right? And you will still sit there, you know, much like we did in high school, you'll sit there in your head and go, why did that person act that way? What was that story going on? What are they thinking about? It will still, but what you have to do is sort of like a slideshow, like push that out of your mind and go, you know what, that person may not be worth having in my space. And then focus on the people that are worth having in inner space and develop the relationships with them. That's what I have done. And then I've got this great supportive network around me, you know, whether it's personally or professionally. But it's hard to do because when there's that type of response back and it's that person that is can be very hurtful, feel it, let yourself feel it, let yourself understand it, but then go, okay, that person may not be worth having in my bandwidth, and move on. But it's still a struggle. So, you know, it's a work in progress, I think, always, you know?
Yeah. I think that's really powerful advice of the, like, feel it and then sort of push that slideshow forward. You know, I can say there have been times where I've experienced that negative reaction to just being myself. And it takes practice to move past it and to not overthink, like, oh, should I have said it this way? Was I talking too much? Oh, the shoulds. I play a lot of shoulds. I'm working on stuff. Yes. What is Sarah Nell Walsh? It was an earlier podcast guest, and I loved it. She said, "You're shoulding all over yourself. Stop shoulding all over yourself." but I think that's where the strength comes, is when you can feel it. Just give yourself that time to be, you know, self-critical and upset, but sort of work on pushing that thought aside quicker. And I think for me, with practice, it's getting slightly easier to deal with the negativity, where it's like, I feel it and I'm trying to move past it.
Well, the nice thing, if you have that supportive community, I mean, sometimes you could just call up that, you know, your go-to person and say, oh my God, this just happened. And what is going on? And am I misreading this? And you could have those conversations with someone, you know, is going to show up for you, right? And then hold you accountable to show up as you show up, right? And then if they help you through some of those feelings, you know? But it happens. I mean, I'm not perfect. All we could do is keep improving, huh?
Yes. Well, yeah. So let's go back to that personal network, right? Your personal board of directors, because, you know, I've heard you speak about it. You're going to speak about it at Mom Life and Law Live, right? How did you start to cultivate that group of people in your inner circle that have then helped you in your career?
I will tell you, the first person that I made on my board of directors was Ellen Presby. She is a trial lawyer out of Dallas, Texas. And I called her the mentor from afar for years. I didn't know her, but she practiced in the same area. And she was always the only woman in the room. Like at any place, like any big conference or any big case, she was always the one woman in the conference room with all the men. And I'd be like, I want to be her. That's who I want to be. But didn't know her. And I was scared to death. I called her up and said, I'm going to be in Vegas. I see you're going to be in Vegas. Will you have breakfast with me? And we had breakfast, and she's been on my board of directors basically since. And so that's how it all got started. But the reason I knew about a board of directors is because I read about having one is such a key thing when you're trying to not only develop your own personal brand or trying to figure out where you want to go in your career or what compensation package you want. I mean, anything. It's so important to have that small group that you can rely on to ask questions, run things, pitch things off of, and get really good, true, accurate feedback, you know? But that's how it started for me.
So what was the difference maker, right? Before you reached out to Ellen and before you had that breakfast and then really had the intentionality to build a core group of people in your circle, what has been the difference, you know, from before to after and now that you have that core group of people?
They've helped me learn to trust my gut, right? So whether it's in, you know, like business decisions, even case strategy sometimes, you know, it could be a lot of things. But you have someone to bounce ideas off, bounce things off about, this is what I'm thinking, this is what my gut's telling me to do. And they really have always given me great feedback. The lateral move in 2013, and even starting my own firm, it's some of the men that were sitting on my board of the directors that really helped me. You know, I literally was taking deals to them and going, what do you think? Help me flesh this out. What deal points should I make? What should I counter? And I had this little group to help me do it. I wasn't doing it on my own island, which sometimes we feel like we're alone. But if you circle yourself with that board of directors, you're not.
So. Yes. Yeah, and there's power in community. Like when we feel alone, that's when it's easy for the self-doubt to be the loudest volume in our heads. But, you know, when you were talking about your experience, it made me think, I lean on my own personal board of directors to vocalize the self-doubt to be able to release it. And so when you talked about bouncing ideas off of people, you know, for me, it's not only, you know, career moves or, you know, asking for a raise or whether to join a group or go for a leadership position. But sometimes I just need to go to my inner circle and say, okay, I just need to let this out. I am being critical on myself for this is what I'm thinking. Like either tell me I'm right or tell me I'm wrong. I just need to get it out. And there's just such power in having people you trust to tell you the truth, right? So sometimes when, no, that's a little bit self-sabotaging, you know, like here, let's talk this out. Let's play this out to the end. Or you're crazy, you know, like say it and then release it and let's move on. Do you have the same experience?
Yes, I'm sitting here nodding my head the entire time you're talking. Absolutely. You know, I think the hardest question I've asked some of my board of directors is how do I show up? How do I show up in a room? And that's, I had someone that I met through Heather Hubbard that said, that's a tough question to ask and you should ask. And you got to be ready to hear it, you know. But that's really helped me know, am I showing up for who I am and being genuine and authentic? But yeah, you know, even with raising kids, I mean, let's talk about the mom part. I have twins that just turned 18, you know, and having a personal board of directors can help you a lot figure out, you know, the ups and downs and struggles with, you know, raising kids, especially as a working mother, you know, and a working lawyer with our schedules.
Oh, absolutely. Just having a community of lawyer moms, just generally, you know, I was introduced to a lawyer mom Facebook group right before I had my first son, like 4.5 years ago. And it's just to have people to bounce ideas off of or to talk about the good and the bad who understand what it is to be a lawyer and a mom. That's a special community, too, I think, just with all of the demands on our time.
Absolutely.
So, Laura, if the listeners want to connect with you, if they want to hire you, if they, you know, want to learn about getting involved, perhaps we've got trial lawyers on here who aren't part of the Women Trial Lawyers Caucus. How do they find you?
Okay, so I'm on Facebook, Laura Yeager, Yeager Law, and you've got to be able to spell Yeager. So it's Y-A-E-G-E-R. And then my legal consulting is Yeager Legal Consulting, and I'm Facebook, Instagram, on the web. Probably the easiest way to get me, though, is email. So it's Laura@yourlegalcounsel.net. Can't miss me that way.
I will make sure to put all of that in the show notes. Laura, thank you for being a colleague and friend, for coming on the podcast and speaking at Mom Life and Law Live. I'm just so grateful to you.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for reaching out and inviting me. It was such a pleasure. And I can't wait till May 7th. So
yes.
See you soon.
Yes. And I promise to have music because I know you love dancing. So we'll have a little fun there too.
Excellent. I can't wait.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. And until next time, take care. Lawyer moms, we made it through another episode of the Mom Life and Law podcast. I'm so glad you're here. If today's episode resonated with you, I ask that you share it with another lawyer mom in your life. And if you haven't already done so, please leave a rating and review in your podcast app of choice. Until next week, remember, you are more than enough. You have a superpower that this world needs, and you are the perfect mother to your children, flaws and all. Take care.